starting point of a relationship with God is believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for your sins and rose again from the dead. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on me should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's about believing, not about doing. You say, well, Pastor Fong, I thought I've got to do good works. Go with me to John chapter 1. Let me give this to you. This is free tonight. Amen? Look at John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Watch this. But as many as received, and preacher and I gave that to every one of those people we witnessed to yesterday. But as many as received, and receiving is believing. It's exercising faith. Is calling upon the Lord to save you. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power. By the way, no man, no woman in this room, none of us have the power to make somebody a Christian. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, but He said in verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them believe on His name. Now, sometimes people will refute you and say, well, there must be more than believing. I've got to do good works. I've got to get it done. Look at verse 13. This will help you next time you're witnessing. Notice, first of all, which were born not of blood. Listen, you can't be born into the family of God through human descent. Being born into a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. If I'm born in a garage, that doesn't make me a car, amen? Okay? Just because you're born into a Christian family does not make you a born-again Christian. You've got to be born again personally. He says, not by blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. It's not by human descent. It's not by human deeds. It's not good works. He said, "Not we're born not of blood, not by human descent, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man." It's not by human descent. It's not by human deeds. It's not even by human desire. I can want you to be saved, but I can't save you. But notice the last part of verse 13. But of God. Salvation's of God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. So you can imagine the backdrop of this in John chapter 7. Jesus is getting up and He's declaring to these people with a loud voice, and He's preaching this in a very, very simplified means, because He knew that, listen, if they're going to hear, they better hear now. He says here in verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Man, He's telling these people, He's giving them liberty. He's giving them life. He's giving them opportunity. He says, listen, your life is going to be changed upside down. He says, out of your body, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now He's telling us some things found within that one verse about three wonderful things about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, as we'll see in a minute. But notice this tonight. He starts off by saying, "He that believeth on me." I quoted John 3:16. Notice John 3:18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." If you've never believed on Jesus Christ, the sentence of condemnation is already on your soul. In fact, we're born condemned. We're born with the sentence of condemnation upon us. Hey, brother and sister Christ, I know it's tough when you witness to people to tell somebody they're a sinner, but I'm going to tell you tonight, if you don't tell them a sinner, you're guilty of spiritual malpractice. That's like a doctor knowing you've got cancer, not telling you've got cancer. You've got to let them know how bad the situation is, what they've got to do. Listen, John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." Hey, do you see me currently? Believe, 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 believe. Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead." Now, listen to this tonight. You might want to write this down. Now, first of all, consider what faith will do for you. Consider what faith will do for you. Number one, with faith, you can get saved. Okay? With faith, you'll please God. With faith, you're on praying ground. With faith, you've overcome the world. That's all Bible. Okay? That's what faith can do for you. Listen to this. Secondly, consider what faith will do through you. Because Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus is talking about a product that comes out of our life because of faith. Now, we need faith to do something for us, but we need faith to do something through us. You're not to be a Christian who doesn't exercise faith. All of us to be people that exercise. Listen, we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Listen to what Hebrews 11 says about what faith will do through you. Listen, through faith you can subdue kingdoms or governments. That's exactly what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. Through faith, Daniel overcame a law that said it was that you're not to pray. It's illegal to pray. Hey, through faith, he subdued governments. Through faith, you can pass through a Red Sea. Through faith, you can forsake Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, you can work righteousness. Through faith, you can utilize the promises. Through faith, you can shut the mouths of lions. Through faith, you can quench the violence of fire. Through faith, you can escape the edge of the sword. Through faith, your weakness can be made strong. Through faith, you can wax valiant in fight. Through faith, you can turn to flight the armies of the enemy. Through faith, you can say, we are more than able to do what we can for God. How's your faith tonight? Do you believe? The nobleman walked 15 miles. Capernaum to Cana of Galilee. He came to Jesus because his son was dying. He said, sir, which the word for sir is the Greek word kurios, same word for Lord. Sir, come down, lest my son die. And Jesus wanted to test the man to see if he believed. He said, do you believe? He said, Lord, I believe. Do you believe? Do you believe that God's on the throne? Believe that God answers prayer? Believe that God builds his church? Do you believe that God can steal the impossible? That's what you say out here. With God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Is that Bible? Do you believe that the God of Elijah is still the God of you, for you and for me tonight? I believe that tonight. So the first important doctrine we see is that of faith. But notice the second important doctrine. That's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. He talked about rivers of living water. Let me say this tonight. Faith and the Holy Spirit are inseparable. The greater your faith and obedience, the greater the work of the Holy Spirit. Where there's little or no faith, there's little or no power of the Holy Spirit. Great men of faith, read E.M. Bounds' book about great men of prayer. Great men of faith are always great men filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 38, Jesus is so excited. I just can imagine the excitement and the fervor he preached this. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, and he's so emphatic, he's so dogmatic in what he's saying. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now would you notice this tonight? In verse 38, Jesus never intended for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be stagnant, to be dormant or non-existent in our lives. He said, he that believeth on me, he says, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit of God was never meant to just indwell us. The Holy Spirit of God was not just to be stagnant. He was not to be dormant. He was not just to stand still. God said of him that out of this man, out of his belly, out of his life, shall flow rivers of living water. And let me give you three words to speak about the ministry spirit, and we're done tonight. Would you write this down, please? Because this is the crux of our message. Number one, there is the quickening of the Holy Spirit. There's the quickening of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes life. Look what Jesus said leading into this feast in John 6:63. Look at it. Go turn to it, please. John 6:63. Would you turn there? John 6:63. Look what he says there. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in their spirit and their life. Hey, do you get this? This all comes together. This is not piecemeal. This is all coming together because Jesus had something to say in John chapter 7 there. The Spirit quickeneth. The Spirit makes alive. Now, notice number one. There is the regeneration. There's no regeneration apart from the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're going to get saved, you don't add something to it. You don't need anything to it. It's the gift of God, not of works, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. Go with me to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Would you look at that, please? Titus chapter 3, verse 5. We're talking about the quickening of the Holy Spirit. There is no regeneration without, apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Titus 3, 5. Are you there? Say amen. You don't say amen. We're staying here for a long time. Amen. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. You know what he's saying there? What I just said to you earlier from John chapter 1, verse 13. Not by human deeds, not by human descent, not by human desire, not by works of righteousness. Don't be offended tonight. I'm not sure who's here tonight. But let me tell you this tonight. 100 good works won't get you to heaven. Baptism won't get you to heaven. The sign of the cross won't get you to heaven. Taking communion at a table somewhere is not going to get you to heaven. Those are works. And I'll tell you how kind the Holy Spirit is. He calls them works of righteousness, not by works of righteousness. Those are good things, but they're not enough. Do you understand something tonight? There's not enough good works you can do to get to heaven. God is holy. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, the essence of God is His holiness and His glory. There's nothing I can do to add to my stature to get close to God's glory. I can get as close as I think I can, but I will always come short. Let me use an example of this. Out our way, we have a transportation system called BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit. And commuters ride BART through from Fremont to Hayward to San Leandro to Oakland to get into San Francisco Airport, place like that. It just so they don't have to go parking, stuff like that, okay? Well, several years ago, they had an incident on a New Year's Eve where it's a bunch of yahoos were doing a bunch of stuff there on the train. It caused some trouble. And a bunch of BART police officers came out to this one particular station in Oakland. And one of them is a big boy. He got a fella down, and he got him down the back. And he thought he'd reached for his taser, but instead he pulled out his service revolver. And he meant to tase the guy because the guy was just very agitated. He's probably on drugs or whatever. Very agitated, very angry, and just fighting back. And as he pressed the thing on his gun, he didn't realize that was a service revolver, not his taser. And he heard a bang. Well, the kid's on the floor, and he shot him right through the heart. Well, to make things worse, it turned to a racial issue. And it was all over the news. They had to take the court case all the way down to L.A. to deal with it because you couldn't find an impartial jury. Long story short, it was just a lot of pressure, bad PR. Long story short, the police officer, because they just went through this, they said, we don't think that you did this accidentally. We think you did this on purpose. They found him guilty of manslaughter. Now watch this tonight. I'm not getting on political issues. I want you to understand something, okay? The jury came forward and said to that man, we find you guilty of X number of counts of manslaughter. He's condemned. He's had judgment passed on him. Amen? So now he goes to jail. It happened the jury came out, it was September, October of that year, and they said January the following year, the judge would have him come back to court, and they would tell him what his sentencing would be. Now, he's been judged. He's just waiting for his sentencing. You follow me? Say amen. Now watch what happens. The moment he walked in that jail, let's say that police officer who's been found guilty decides this, well, you know what? I think I'm going to call Alan Fong and see if I can join Heritage Baptist Church. And I think while I'm in here, I've got October, November, December, and January to the date. I've got 3.5 months. I think what I'll do is I'll plan to do 100 good works every day. I think I'll plan to wash the dishes. I think I'll plan to shine some shoes. I plan to do some charity work. I'll try to do all these things. Listen, it doesn't matter if he joined my church and joined Sweet Springs Baptist Church. It doesn't matter if he got baptized 50 times. It doesn't matter how many works he does. None of that will matter because judgment was already passed on him. There's no good works he can do that can get him out of that predicament. That's the predicament of every sinner. That's why we have Titus 3:5 because it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his, what does it say? According to his what? Mercy. Listen, you know what you and I need? We need mercy. We need mercy. The Bible says Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. Truth demands justice, but mercy says, I will cover that justice. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration. We're saved. What's regeneration? Regeneration is the word the words that Jesus described in John chapter 3. You must be born again. Regeneration means to be born again. A spiritual rebirth. A spiritual birthing. And so we see the quickening of the Holy Spirit. There's no regeneration apart from the Holy Spirit. Say that with me tonight. There is no regeneration apart from the Holy Spirit. Notice something else tonight. Did you know there's no revival apart from the Holy Spirit? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Notice Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hey, you read the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a book about revival. The Christian life, we're to be in a perpetual state of revival. I'm going to tell you tonight, when you look at the book of Acts, someone has said this, and Bobby should have been titled the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit more than the Acts of the Apostle, because really, the Holy Spirit is a prominent character in the book of Acts. We see the quickening of the Holy Spirit. He makes alive. He gives life. That's why we're having a revival conference, to make alive. There's a second thing. Look at verse 38. There's the quickening of the Spirit, but would you notice the quantity of the Holy Spirit? I want you to do me a favor. Read verse 38 to me. Congregation, let's read together, all right? He that believeth on me, read to me. Come on. I want to make sure you're awake. Let's have some interaction. Come on, class, come on. Okay. He that believeth on me, read with me, come on. He that believeth on me. Whoa, wait. Is that singular or is that plural? What kind of water? A river of water or rivers of water? Rivers! He's talking about a huge quantity. Multiple branches, multiple tributaries. He's talking about multiple Colorado rivers. He's talking about multiple Amazon rivers. He says, out of his belly, out of his life, out of his insides, out of the abundance of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Listen, when we have the faith that God wants us to have, and we have the quantity of the Holy Spirit like he wants us to have, out of your life shall flow rivers of living water. My question for you tonight, brother, sister in Christ, how much of the Holy Spirit does he have of you? What's flowing out of your life? Something coming out of every life. The question is the Holy Spirit come out of our life? Some preachers got together and were going to have a meeting. D.L. Moody was going to be the preacher. And some of them got critical about D.L. Moody, and they said, who does Moody think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? One of the old, wiser preachers says, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him. Let me give you some thoughts. What does this rivers of living water refer to? Write this down. Well, number one, I believe rivers of living water refers to the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Rivers of living water is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. I think secondly, the rivers of living water refers to a second product, souls that are saved. Acts 8, 29, that the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Hey, God took this Philip, this man Philip, he took him out of a very fruitful ministry there in Samaria. He says, I know your heart. Hey, there's a man of Ethiopia, a man that's well-educated, a wealthy man. He works for Candace of Ethiopia. He's stuck out there in the desert. He's reading a gospel tract. In those days, a gospel tract was about this big because they read a scroll. They didn't have the kind of tract we have, amen. He's reading a scroll of Isaiah chapter 53, and he needed someone to help me. He says, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I except some man help me? And he got up into the chariot, but it was the Holy Spirit. He was a little bit hesitant because he didn't know who this man was. He says, go near thyself to the chariot. He said, get up in that chariot with that man and tell him how to get saved. Hey, listen, Philip had the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Later on, as we read through the book of Acts, we read at critical moments that Paul was filled with the Spirit. Barnabas was filled with the Spirit. Somebody was filled with the Spirit. I'm going to tell you tonight what got this church going, what keeps this church going, is somebody filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Quantity. We sing that song, More About Jesus Would I Know. But I think the rivers of living water refers to a third thing. There's the fruit of the Spirit. There are souls that are saved. Would you notice the third thing? I think the fruit of the Spirit is speaking about, the living waters or the quantity of the Spirit speaks about effectual prayer. Look at Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Listen to this. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I wish I had time to preach about praying in the Holy Ghost tonight. We see the quickening of the Spirit. There's no regeneration apart from the Holy Spirit. There's no revival apart from the Holy Spirit. We see the quantity of the Spirit. Would you notice this last thing and we're done? Would you notice the quenching of the Holy Spirit? Now, there's a great euphoria. There's a great excitement that's happened. Jesus has gotten up and he's just proclaimed two major doctrines. He's talking about the imperative of faith, and he's talking about the imperative of the Holy Spirit of God. He's gotten the attention of these people on that great festivity day when people are praying and asking God to give them an abundance of rain for the next year's harvest, the next year's crop. And they're celebrating the pouring of the water and the pouring of the wine and the great lights that were shining. I mean, all of that's going down. And fresh in people's mind is the singing of Psalms 118. And you would think after all that Jesus said that that would draw people closer. But as we close out chapter 7 of John, we don't find that there. Instead of the people rejoicing, instead of the people drinking, instead of the people coming, we find a quenching of the Holy Spirit. These people are in total rejection of everything Jesus Christ had said there. Notice the mood here. There are three groups of people we find here. Group number one that quenched the Spirit were those ignorant of the Scriptures. That's found in verses 40 to 53. Group number two that quenched the Spirit were the men who occupied places of influence, the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Spirit is quenched when instead of praying without ceasing, we are arguing and debating over processes and procedures. The Spirit is quenched. He's put out. His fire is put out when instead of being obedient to the preaching of God's Word, prophecies. Hey, listen, you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It tells us quench not the Spirit, but leading with that, it tells us despise not prophecy. It's telling us pray without ceasing. It tells us in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, the quickest way to quench the Spirit's fire, to quench the Spirit's enthusiasm, to quench the Spirit's tenderness of our heart, is to stop being thankful, to stop praying, and to stop listening to the preaching of God's Word. That's what it says. The Spirit is quenched when instead of faith, there's criticism and doubtfulness. The Spirit is quenched when instead of mercy and a Christ-like Spirit, there's fault-finding, judgmentalness, and the people of influence are ready to throw rocks at people. And that's what happens as we end chapter 7. You get into chapter 8, and they take this, the Pharisees, they're still upset. I mean, they're raging mad. I mean, they're boiling hot about Jesus Christ. They're mad at him because he stole their thunder. He stole their show there, and they try to show disrespect. In fact, they censured Nicodemus in chapter 7 by telling Nicodemus, who do you think you are? Are you one of his followers? And then you get to chapter 8, they had this conspiracy. And some of them, I believe, were just as guilty as that woman. They took a woman, they said, that was caught in the very act of adultery. Well, question number one is, how'd you know she was doing that? And how did you know her, you rascals? They came out and they were, this is on the heels of all that Jesus just said. I mean, listen, there was an opportunity for people to get saved, an opportunity for people to be a follower of Jesus Christ and a disciple of the Lord. Instead of their arguing and fussing and arguing about all these things that were not essential to their need at that moment. They pulled this woman out. Then the height of everything, they pulled this woman out. Imagine the shame, the embarrassment this woman must have faced. What do you think, Jesus? We caught in the very act of adultery. I like what our Lord did. He did what Jeremiah 17 tells us about. He took his finger and started writing in the sand. He said, their sins and iniquities I will write. He said, I'll write in the dirt. I'll write in the earth. He's writing their sins out. I believe this because he's all sovereign. I believe not only was writing their sins out, I believe he's writing their names out there too. That's why those guys started dropping the rocks. Yeah. Amen. If you saw your name there, you'd drop a rock too. Amen. Yes, you would. He said, he that's without sin among you, let him be first to cast a stone. How are you going to do that? Your name is in the sand. And the sin associated with it. Adultery number one, him. Adultery number two, him. Adultery. I mean, come on. He looked at woman. Because occasion, John 7, 37, 38. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hey, the fruit of the Spirit. That woman needed mercy. She needed to know that God had already judged her sins. She needed to know that moment of time somebody could give her hope. Woman, where are your accusers? There are none. Neither do I accuse you. Go out and sin no more, he said. I'm done. Living water. When we quench the spirit, listen, and I'm done. When we quench the spirit, we're not doing the will of God. Go back to chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, what's his will? Faith and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Faith and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether I speak of myself. You followed the news last year. The Napa Valley area was consumed. Napa Valley and Santa Rosa was consumed with fires. That's a 1-hour drive from my church. I tell you how bad it got. The fires were so bad. The sky was red for certain days. And we had smoke that came down. The breeze, the wind would blow the smoke down, and the smoke pollution was very bad. To make things worse, a second fire started down in Southern California off of Highway 101 in the area called Montecito. Now, Montecito, on the backside of Montecito, is a lot of those famous TV and movie personalities. They're multi-million dollar homes. Oprah Winfrey and people like that live up there, and they were all scared they're going to lose their homes there. All these fires are there. But the greatest problem after a fire is when the rain season comes. Because when the rain season comes, they're worried about mudslides coming down because the roots of the trees are gone. The trees are gone. And Montecito, all over the news there towards that wintertime, was just these massive mudslides that came into the city. Many, many lost their property. 20 people lost their lives because they didn't evacuate on time. And they described like this, rivers of mud came down into Montecito. I close with this thought. What kind of rivers are flowing from our life? Rivers of mud that destroy, that hurt, or rivers of water that touch people's lives and bring them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But it's all preceded by an if any man thirsts. Do you thirst tonight? Do you have thirst for more faith? Do you thirst for more of the Holy Spirit? Do you thirst for more of God? He said, come unto me and drink. We need more of Jesus tonight. I think that's a fitting way to close our revival services. We need more of Jesus so that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. When I give the invitation, I'll ask you to stand. Don't delay. Let's find our place at the old-fashioned altar. Let's get a hunger and thirst for righteousness that we might be filled. Father, tonight we ask that you would take the simple thoughts from John chapter 7 to awaken us and to stir us and to move us, Lord, to a place of honoring Jesus, your Son, and honoring you. Lord, I believe tonight we are thirsting. We're thirsting for God to do something for the area of Moberly and Huntsville. We're thirsting for God to turn the state of Missouri all over, turn it upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're thirsting for power for our lives. We're thirsting for power for our marriages. We're thirsting for power, Lord, for our parenting. We're thirsting for power for those without Christ. We need to give the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit and souls that are saved and effectual praying in the Holy Ghost. There will be evidence of that. And tonight, as we've seen all of this background here, we've seen the celebration, we've seen the symbols, but most importantly, we've seen the statements. Jesus made that powerful statement on the last day of the feast that it would be so embedded and blazoning and burning in the hearts and minds. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God, forgive us tonight as we consider all that's been preached and said. If instead of living water coming out of our heart, instead if there's been mud and debris and junk, God, cleanse our hearts from filthiness of flesh and superfluity of naughtiness. Help us to come tonight with a heart of repentance for cleansing, but with that tonight to have God's power and desire for more of God's power and to thirst for more of God. And we know what faith can do for us, but we need to see what faith can do through us. And Lord, some of us tonight need to wrought righteousness, and some of us tonight through faith that our weakness can be made strong. And through our faith tonight, we need the mouths of lions that are shut blood. And through faith tonight, we need you to do some great, mighty things that we can't do. And through faith tonight, we need some red seas that are open. And through faith tonight, Lord, we need you to subdue governments. Whatever it may be that you've spoken to my dear brothers and sisters about, have your perfect and wonderful way tonight at the invitation. And then tonight, Lord, if someone here is not 100% sure they're saved, if they think being born into a Christian family has saved them, if they think that good works has saved them, if they think that, Lord, that the pastor can get saved for them, Lord, may they understand tonight the Bible says that is not the way. It's but of God, not of anything human we can do. It's all of God. I pray for sinners to be saved tonight. If we fooled ourselves and fooled somebody else that we're saved, help us to be truthful and honest tonight and come to the altar and get saved tonight, knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, as the pianist starts playing, help us to come with hearts of repentance and desire that God, you do something great. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Let's stand, brothers and sisters in Christ. Meet us at the altar tonight. Pianist is going to play. Do you thirst for God? Do you thirst for God to do something in your high school? Do you thirst for God to do something in that community college? Do you thirst for God to do something in your family? Do you thirst for God to do something in your study? Do you thirst for God to do something in your soul winning? Do you thirst for God to do something in that printing ministry? Do you thirst for God to do something in the church? Whatever it is, Jesus said, come to me and drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You come tonight. Don't delay. You're not sure you're saved tonight, we invite you this evening. Preacher and I would love to tell you how to get saved tonight.